Hello and welcome to Raising a Pro. I'm Annie Apple, journalist and NFL mom to my son, Eli Apple. Today's guest lived and survived every football parent's worst nightmare, watching your son sustain a hit and not being able to get back up. Who can forget that Monday night football game on December 4, 2017, when Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier went down in that game against the Bengals? All of our hearts stopped. His mom, Sean Shazier, joins us to share what it was like living that nightmare and how Ryan has beat all the odds to walk and thrive again. Welcome a phenomenal woman, a friend, and fellow NFL mom, Sean Shazier. Hey, Sean, how are you?
Hi, Annie. I'm fine. How are you?
I am well. I'm just saying, you look the same as you did from the first time I met you. Your skin is glowing.
Aww.
You're not aging. And we're in a whole pandemic. How do you continue to look like that? Like, wow.
You know what? You look great also, but I get up every morning. I still do my exercise. I try to eat healthy and just trying to really just dig in deep so I can come out looking just as good as I went in.
But we're here to talk about just Ryan's experience through your eyes. And I remember the first time I met Ryan was at Ohio State many years ago. Eli was on his official visit and Ryan was one of the hosts. And you could just tell right away, because you know, Ohio State at that time was a big time program. And everybody you meet there, all the other young men are like alpha male. But there was such a gentleness and a kindness to Ryan. Do you know what I mean? So as a mom, you felt like, okay, I can leave my son with him for the day. He's going to be all right. Like, let's keep it real. Some people, you'd be like, pause. My son ain't going nowhere with you or you. But it was like, Ryan was like, there was a peace about him. There was a kindness about him. Where does that come from?
You know what? Ryan has always been that way, even as a kid, like just a very pleasant kid. I mean, he was the type of kid where you enjoy being the parent, honestly, because there's times as a parent, I have gone through stages where, you know what? I love you, but I don't like you right now.
Tell it.
But he has always been a very easy kid to parent, even as a baby. When he wake up, he would wake up smiling. As a toddler, he was very independent. As a student, he was a good student, except he talked a lot. He was a social butterfly, which you could probably got that from his mom.
His mom with the good skin. His mama with the good skin. Okay.
But we have always just raised him to just be polite. Just treat people the way you want to be treated. You know, it doesn't say all parents are not teaching their kids that, but he has always just been very easy.
You know, I think all parents can relate to what you're saying as far as the kids, that's easy. Because the one that's hard, you know, there are those kids that you are just like, when the teacher or somebody called, they're like, are you the parent so-and-so? You're like, why? Let me know, because I can turn into the auntie, the neighbor, or the grandmom real quick.
Exactly.
But anyway, let's get back to the beginning with Ryan. I think he said he discovered the love of football when he was like 5 years old. So tell us, what drew him and what made him fall in love with this game?
I think Ryan fell in love with the game because his dad was a coach and he was around it. You know, he's just always been like that little football player at an early age. I remember when he was three, he dressed up in a little football uniform, a football player. I'm sorry. He dressed up as a football player and he looked like a little miniature football player. And when he was, I can remember at nine, when he walked around with the muscle shirts, he always had the form, but he always had a love for the game. And he's always been very aggressive. He's the type, once he starts something, he just give it his all. As a young player playing peewee, he was still so aggressive on the field. Like, we just knew it was something special about him.
Did he feel the pressure to perform because his dad was a coach, or did his dad being a coach really help him in finding his own rhythm?
I think his dad as a coach helped him find his own rhythm. because he didn't ever pressure him, but he always showed him the technique of what it takes to be a better player, of what it takes to be a champion. You know, that's his motto. We're champions. Our family, Shaziers, are champions. And that was before Ohio State. That was before, you know, high school football. We have just always driven, like, we're champions. We're going to give it our best. We're going to do everything in the eyes of God. You know, we're very religious. So whatever we do it as if we're working for the Lord. And so that was instilled in him at a very early age.
So that was a blueprint for him, like the whole
it
model,
really was.
Just like, yeah, that was a blueprint. So Ryan suffered from alopecia, an autoimmune condition, which prevents the growth of hair. How did that affect him as a child growing up? And how were you able to help him, like, maintain who he was in the midst of taunting, bullying, whatever it is?
You know, believe it or not, you know how they say, like, you could take lemons and turn it into lemonade? With that, it just made him a better person because it made him strong. We taught Ryan from the beginning, like, hey, this is something we have to deal with. We're not going to hide it. We're not going to have the caps on the top of your head or the, you know, the hats. Because the first time someone snatched your cap off, they're going to make fun of you. So we got to just deal with this head on. It's not a life changing, but it's a life altering in a sense. Like, it's not a life, like a life or death situation. But it is a life-altering situation where we got to look at things differently. We're blessed because, you know, you're smart, you're intelligent, you're athletic, you're handsome. And we got to take the good out of it. We can't let this one thing define who you are, you know. And we started telling him at a very young age, when you find people that criticize or want to put you down to build themselves up, those are the people that don't feel good about themselves. So we really tried to always keep him in like a good environment, people who wasn't so quick to want to judge or put him down. And so he went to really great schools, but when he played football, we did have him play football in the inner city. So it won't be sugar-coated. You got to deal with it. This is life.
How did you keep teach him like the responses? I remember like coming to America in like, you know, 8 years old in third grade. It was the first time that I was like confronted with the fact that it's not even, I was just darker skin. That was my only thing. It was like, I was a dark skinned black girl. And I remember the kids would make fun of you, which I thought was so ridiculous. Kids would make fun of you. I think in my own little 8 year old mind, what I came up with, I'm like, well, I'm darker because God took more time coloring me in. Like, mm-hmm. I just felt like my darker skin connected me closer to God. Do you know what I mean? Like, so that was my rationalization to deal with the stupidity of colorism. So, but for him, like, what was kind of responses? Because sometimes as a kid, you can know what your parents said, but when you out there in the trenches, you know, what was the game plan for that?
But you know what, Annie, and all that is true, but the thing about it is we just set him up for life. You know, kids are cruel. Kids yeah. are cruel, and we Hello. Can't control what they say or what yeah. they do. So you try to have your kids around people that's going to more or less lift them up and they're yeah. going to accept who he is. And the ones that did put him down, he had to deal with it. We couldn't let that be a trigger.
Sean, was there one day where you just wanted to go to school, snatch up somebody's kid?
Oh, there was a lot of days where I went. It's times I have been at the park and literally getting ready to just explode. And then I remember this one incident. We were at the park. And one of the kids said something to him, and I think he said something back. And I was like, excuse me.
Good for you,
me.
Ryan.
You know, you excuse me, and I'm getting ready to say something. And then I turned around, because we were still in the parking lot. I turned around, and I had on this T-shirt that says God's property. And I saw my reflection in the mirror that says God's property. And I felt so bad because with God's property, this is not the way a child of God should be acting right now.
Because well, you know, sometimes you got to let them know Jesus did flip tables. And sometimes you have to let people know. Listen.
And there are times at the game I had to let adults know, like, hey, that's a kid that has a mom. And if you have something to say, be careful what you say in the stands because his mom is sitting here.
And God is still working on her.
And my husband be like, Sean, you know, okay, Sean. And, you know, it's little things that really would bother me. But I just had to set an example. As hard as it was, I'm not going to say it was easy. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to try to say like Jesus this or that. It was hard. But we had to explain to him, this is the world we live in. Kids are cruel. Adults are cruel. But you just have to take the good with the bad, the crooked with the straight. And you got to deal with it. You're either going to let it make you or it's going to break you. We can't change it. We can't grow your hair. We can't snap your finger. So you got to deal with it. And you got to figure out how you're going to, we're going to deal with it.
Sean, listen, I would have taken that t-shirt that said God's property and I wrote at the bottom of it, but he's still working on me. So don't try me, you know.
But it really worked in the end because he had to deal with it. But you know, Annie, it was once, I never even said this to anyone. And I don't even know if Ronnie remember, we were at the doctor because in the beginning we were getting the like shots for hair growth. And he started complaining about it hurt. So we stopped doing it for a minute and we would just do like the eyebrows when he came home. And when he went off to college, we stopped altogether because he was gone too long and he wasn't really following up with, you know, like he should. But at one visit, the doctor asked him, he said, well, Ryan, how does this affect you? How does it bother you from 1 to 10? And Ryan actually said a 10, and he was like in fourth or fifth grade. And it really just tore my little heart apart because
it's breaking my heart now.
Exactly, because you never know. I had no idea it was affecting him that way. And we just stopped with the shots. And we just pray. We just said, we got to deal with it. We just got to just, you know, we love you. This is something that just happens. You're not the only one with it, but we're going to deal with it. And when you find people that want to make fun of you, you have the choice. You don't have to be around those people. Both of the kids were kind of raised, I feel, in a bubble. And I always tell them, I say, you was just raised around good people. But there's a whole nother world out there that will eat you apart. And that's how it was.
I would have snatched up somebody. I know. I would have somebody's kid, somebody's parent, somebody would have gotten snatched. But I mean, the temperament that he went to develop and his football career developed, you know, he went to a Plantation High School in Florida. Initially, he had committed to Urban Meyer when Urban was at Florida. So tell me about his high school recruiting process and what at that time made Florida the choice for you guys, besides it being home state.
Well, you know what? It was the recruiter for him was crazy because he was blessed. He had so many offers.
Who was the top three though?
It was Florida, LSU, and Ohio State.
Really? So he had Ohio State before Urban was there when it was Tressel?
Before Urban was there. Well, Urban was at Florida State. I mean, at University of Florida. That's where he, that was just it. He wanted to go to University of Florida. Okay. It was, that's where he wanted to go. But then after he started making visits, because he would do unofficial visits, he would just go up to the games and different things. And I think over time, he started to feel like, I don't know if that's the fit for me after he committed. And he even said once, he was like, he said this. He was like, Mom, if Coach Myers resigned or he's not a part, because you know how it came up that he wasn't feeling well and he had heart. He was like, I'm going to decommit. I was like, Ryan, please. You're not, Coach Myers not going anywhere. And I was like, okay. And what happened was the day that Coach Myers resigned, Coach Fickell happens to be at Plantation High.
Wow. Okay.
Even though he had, you know, committed, he just happened to be at the right place at the right time. And he called me and he was like, Mom, did you just hear it? Coach Myers resigned. I was like, no, he didn't. He was like, yes, he did. They just announced it. And Coach Fickell and LSU coach were at the school. I mean, he had Alabama, he had all these schools. So it was just a lot. But he had committed so early into the game. So it kind of just seemed like it knocked a lot of things out. And it did up until the moment when Coach Myers resigned from University of Florida. And that was his opportunity. Like, I don't know if that's really where I should be. And it's so amazing how God worked things out because it really wasn't where he should have been. Ohio State.
Exactly. But, you know, about 5 months after he got to Ohio State, Coach Tressel resigned.
Yeah.
So it was just like, so Ryan is to blame for all these resignations. You know what I mean? No, seriously, like, so how did that make you as a mom feel? You're like, okay, another coach resigned. What is going on?
But you know what? I was so comfortable with him at Ohio State. It just felt like that's where he needed to be. Like that was the place for him. That was his personality. University of Florida just wasn't, it wouldn't have been a good fit after the fact. You know how you have to just go on faith? You don't know what the future holds. But when you look at what happened, look how many coaches they went through. I'm going to be honest. I wanted him to go to Florida. I wanted him to go to Florida because it was a home state, a home team. It was only about, 5 hours if we decided to go to a game. We wanted to be able to go. And I even told him, like, I was not happy. And I was really upset about the decision. And one night the Lord spoke to me and said, you have to let him go. You have to let him go wherever he decides. Because if things don't work out, you don't want it to be because of you.
Exactly.
And I told him, I was like, you know what? I apologize. This is for you. Where you decide to go, we will support you.
It's on you, because I think it's always important to pick a school that you're comfortable at, the school with good tradition, good education. And also, if you weren't playing football, if something happened, like, how would you still want to be there?
Right.
If you're just going there to play football, then that's not the place. And I think they have a good sense of, okay, this is where I belong. This is where I want to be. Were you concerned? Because, you know, at this point, he had always been insulated at home, near family, and the whole nine, protected. Now he's going thousands of miles away to Ohio. Were you concerned about, you know, about him being able to transition, about how his well-being, you know, with everything that, you know, he had faced?
I really wasn't. I really was not. I really felt he was in good hands. I knew it was a great school. You know, we just prayed that he would connect with the right people, the right teammates, because like I said, in a sense, they have been sheltered, I feel. You know, like I say, they have been always been around good people, and you could be in a good program and that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be around good people or the right players. So there was a time like, you know, we just prayed like he would meet up with the right players. And but I never really worried about him being away in school. And believe it or not, I was at peace when he was at school.
Wow. That's good. That's important. So he did his thing, Ohio State. I mean, he was voted first All-American. And 2014, he decided to forego his senior season to enter the draft. What was that decision like for you?
We was very excited for him, even though they wanted him to stay an extra year.
They always wanted them to stay an extra year.
But we was just like, hey.
Play for free one more year. Just, you know, let us get our bonuses and our raises. And you play for free to keep you humble.
Yes. And so, you know, we was just like, hey, this is Ryan's decision. Whatever he decides, we're going to support him. If he decides to stay, we're going to support him. If he decides to leave, we're going to support it. This is totally his decision. It's not our decision, which they feel like the parents will influence them to stay another year. And then, he needs to get his degree. We send our kids to college to get an education, to get a degree, to get a better job. So he has the job. He can always go back and get the degree, which he did.
And I think, you know, what people don't also understand is that the whole purpose of going to college is to expand your earning potential.
Thank you.
If you can do that in 3 years, God bless you.
Yes.
And people always make, you got to get that degree. There are people with a 4-year degree who still make minimum wage.
Thank you.
Listen, get your education. Do what is best for you, but to try to make, you went to college to expand your earning potential.
And you know what? At times it really used to frustrate me because I feel like they put a lot of pressure on our kids. And, you know, I don't want to go that way, but I just feel they put a lot of pressure on our kids. Like, you know,
the brotherhood, come back for your team. We can win the championship one more year. I'm like, what does that have to do with me? Coach, you getting a salary and a bonus, right? This is your livelihood. I have the opportunity to begin my professional livelihood. Why would you want me not to do that?
And that's why they go off to college, like you said, in order to expand their potential, to make more money, to get a greater job,
that's right.
to do different
that's
things.
That's why you go to college.
And so if the opportunity arises in your third year, you can come out and make what some people wouldn't even make in a lifetime.
Exactly. Why would you forego that? For what?
And you could take the chance of getting hurt when you can always go back.
Always go back. Yeah. There are some times where you have to make the best decision for you because the coach is going to always make the best decision for them.
Right.
If you can't play, trust me, it'll be next man up. So you have to always be, I'm the man up. when it comes to decision affecting your life. What was your expectation going into the draft for Ryan?
When Ryan went into the draft, we was just so excited. We just always looked at it, hey, this is a dream that has turned into a reality. And we want you to get the best experience you can. We went in praying that he would go in the first round, but prepared if he slipped into the second round. And the expectations, I can't even just explain to you the feeling that we felt as a family and how proud we was of him. And just feeling like, hey, we pray that you go with a great team. And our expectations that he was going to go in there and do his thing. And that's what he did.
So when his name was called, what was that feeling like for you guys?
Annie, I can't even explain. It was such a great feeling. Like I said, it was a dream that turned into a reality. This is something that every little kid that plays football dream of, is going to the NFL. And when his name was called, I just felt we as a family were celebrating. And we were just so happy because we know the challenges of just with the alopecia and the different things he had went through and, you know, how he could have easily went to Florida. And if this would have happened, if he would have went to Florida and how everything.
Florida was a mess.
Oh, my God. How everything was still just directed where you just had the faith. Like they said, you just don't know the future with the faith thing. You just have to believe in faith and feel it's going to take you where you need to go. One of the best things that happened out of the whole situation with the draft is being drafted by the Steelers. The Steelers is such a great organization, such a five-star organization. And when he got drafted by the Steelers, because originally we thought he was going to Dallas. And the Steelers end up, I don't know what they did to get him, but it just everything worked out perfect.
Tell us about Coach Tomlin. You know, we've had Mama Bettis on the show. We've had Charlotte Hayward on the show. And let me get to Mama Bettis, because whenever I say the name Mike Tomlin, she's like, woo-wee. Everybody loves. I remember our pro day at Ohio State, and all the moms was there. Dawn Elliott, myself, Cheryl Boza, Nick Vanessa, everybody was there. And Coach Tomlin was a highlight for us. For many reasons. However, we were like, finally, something for the mamas. Coach Tomlin's in the building. God reigns. Mm. But overall, other than being such a pleasantly looking man, he's an amazing coach.
Oh, yes.
When you have your kid go to college, especially having the opportunity to play for a black coach, it's not a whole lot of black coaches in the league. So the odds of your kids playing for a black coach is very slim. How did you think that impacted Ryan's play in his career?
I think it really impacted Ryan a lot because he really looks up to Coach Tomlin. And, you know, like he has a great father and him and his dad have such an amazing relationship. But he has a special relationship with Coach Tomlin. There's times where I know he probably took Coach Tomlin's advice over our advice. Hopefully it was like close to the same, but he really, really respects Coach Tomlin and he looks up to him to this day. He still has a lot of respect for him and they have a great relationship.
Rookie year, he did his thing. After his rookie season, he started left linebacker. I mean, to watch Ryan play is just, his passion is phenomenal. After a strong start, he got the shoulder injury in the 49ers game. As moms, people always tell us, you know, football, it is a brutal sport. And how do you guys worry about injury? And, you know, and I always say, I said, the job of a parent is to help connect your child to find what it is that they enjoy doing, they're meant to do, right? Once they find that love, it's your job to help nurture it and support them. You can't allow the fear to keep you from supporting them. Because that's why for us, it's like, how do you rationalize your kids playing such a violent game? That's what they love to do.
That's what they love
to
do.
And I think the whole purpose of parenting is not trying to manipulate and make your kid do what you want them to do, but for them to find their own God-given abilities, talents, and purpose and let them go, right? And completely let them go. But how was, I want to get to the game that changed everything for Ryan because it was December the 4th of 2017. And one thing about, I can't speak for any other university or whatever, but I know at Ohio State, when it comes to the parent, We are such close-knit. We care.
Yes.
I mean, like, if your kid get an interception, you're going to get a text from other Ohio State mom. You could have been playing against their son.
Right.
You know, your son could have been playing against, and they were like, good play. You know what I mean? Good job. Because we just, it's about, you want to see each other win. Exactly. You want to see each other win. And I remember when I saw that game, and tell me about that moment against the Bengals when, I think three, four years into his NFL career, he sustained that injury. What was it? Where were you and what was that like for you?
That was devastating. You know, I can remember, you know, watching the game, and normally me and my husband and, you know, our son, we watch it together. That particular night, my husband had a meeting that he had to be, you know, he just couldn't for passes. So I was watching a game and my youngest son was in his room. And the crazy thing, this is the only game that he ever really like wasn't there in front of, like, if we wasn't there in person, we were there in front of the television. And, you know, at that point, we went to mostly all the home games and, you know, a lot of the away games. And this is the one game that he actually was not able to watch at the moment because it was like a meeting. He just had to be there. Something would work. And I was watching the game. And when the hit happened, I saw him grab his back. And I just said, oh, my God, Ryan is hurt. So then when he was laying there, I screamed I was like, BJ, Ryan is hurt. So then called my husband. He was like, I'm in a meeting. And I texted him, Ryan was just hurt. But then he started getting so many calls and texts from other people, and he had to leave out. And within no time, Ryan called.
Before he called, I just want to set it up for December the 4th, during Monday Night Football game against the Bengals. Ryan suffered what appeared to be a severe back injury after a head-on tackle, and he was unable to move. So before you got that call, which was so important, I remember we did a show with Saquon Barkley's mom, Tanya, and what she said was that you wait for that call. Like, you just, like, somebody let us know what was happening. But before you got that call, what were you feeling?
I was just having an anxiety attack. In the beginning, I was having an anxiety attack, and I was just praying, Lord, you know, don't let it be as bad as it look. Because I knew when he grabbed, I knew at the moment he grabbed his back and was going down, I knew he was hurt. And then when they started saying he's not moving his feet, he's not moving it. It's just like you sit there and you pray and you pray and you just wait for the call. His dad, next thing you know, his dad was coming in. But like I said, with the Steelers, they call, Ryan, everything is going to be okay on the way to the hospital and everything. And then Ryan, he did call. You know, it's a moment you'll never forget, but it's a moment you just don't even want to think about it because it just brings so much anxiety and bad feelings. But then it's just a moment when I think about it now where I'm just so grateful of where he's come from, how far he has with the rehab and how well he's doing at this moment.
One thing Tanya, Saquon Barkley's mom shared with us was like, you know, there's one thing that you physically, you know, our sons deal with physically is the fact that, okay, you're injured, you're going to be out a certain time, blah, blah, blah. But what she said was like, people don't understand the mental and the emotional impact. Because this is something they have done their whole lives, right? And the idea of not being able to do what you've done since you were 5, since you were 10.
Yes.
You know, something you've enjoyed doing. It has its mental toll. What was it that you said to Ryan in that moment to kind of help keep his spirits up? Or were you just like, I have no words?
I have no words. I just had no words. You know, I just told Ryan, I was like, Ryan, everything's going to be okay. My main concern at that moment, it wasn't even about him playing. Again, my main concern is just, Lord, let him be okay. Lord, let him be able to walk again. Let him be able to be the father and, you know, the son, and just let him be okay. I mean, like, mentally and physically, you're lost for words. You're numb. I became numb, but I also became the strength of our family.
How are you able to do both, though?
You know the strength of a woman. Because I became the strength for Ryan and my husband and the family. I became the one like, okay, we're going to trust God. I became the one like, hey, we're always talking about faith. We're always talking about trusting God. How could we talk about this with others when now we have the experience? And so, believe it or not, Annie, people couldn't even believe how strong I was, to where I went back and asked God. I was like, Lord, is this normal? Is it normal for me to feel the way I'm feeling? And the way I was feeling is like, he's going to be okay. It was just like a cloud was lifted. I would tell people, we're not going to cry. I don't want anyone crying around him. If you come in and visit and you need to cry, you go in the family room. Then you come back. Because if he see us crying, he's going to lose hope.
But part of being strong is having those moments where you are able to break down. So were there your moments where you're just like, in order for me to be strong for everybody, I'm going to have to do what I need to do emotionally. So for what I need to break down, because I got to break down so I can build back up and be a strength for everybody. Was there a moment where you're like, when you had your own, like...
In the beginning, I did. In the very beginning, I did. Before we even went to Cincinnati, I broke down here. But when I got there and I saw him, I felt, like I said, I was numb, but I wanted him to just know that it's going to be okay. It may not be okay the way you want it to be okay, but we're going to be okay. And then when I went to the hotel, I prayed and just asked God to give me the strength that I needed for our family. And then it got to the point where, like I said, I had so much strength where I was like, Lord, is this normal? I'm not even crying anymore. And I honestly felt like, you're going to be okay. We're going to trust God. You, whatever we ask for, he's going to give it to us. You, it may not be what you want. And people may say, well, do you think he will play again? I don't know. Whatever God has for him.
And right now, that's not important.
Exactly. And people would ask me that on a regular basis. And it was times where I felt I was even stronger than my husband. But I was just like, hey, what we talk about on a regular basis, this is us. We can't expect it from other people and we don't have it ourselves. And so it was just, it was a very difficult, but like I said, it's really weird. I can't explain it because it's not like you go back and you said on, I think it was like September, it was on my birthday. It was September 20th, maybe like 2016, 15, when he hurt his shoulder. And that was on my birthday. He had an awesome game. And then that last hit, he hurt his shoulder. It wasn't the same. Because with that game, even though he hurt his shoulder, we still was able to go out to dinner. We still was able to celebrate my birthday. Everything was still moving as, you know, hey, like it's a stinger. Until he had to go to a specialist. He had to do different things. But this was totally different. This is when you see your child laying there and can't move their feet, can't move their toes. Don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Hoping that, okay, this is just temporary. As far as a couple days temporary or a couple hours temporary, then it was like days turned into weeks. So this was like a totally different thing where we had to really, it was such a surreal where I can't even explain honestly how we were dealing with it and handling it. Where I know it was nothing but God was carrying us. That's the only way I can explain it. Because I got to the point where I just felt he was going to be okay. I didn't cry. It was a couple of times I have cried. When maybe the nurse, the doctor may say something and I will walk out the room, go in the bathroom and come back and just say, we're going to be okay. We're going to get through this. And I honestly felt he was going to be okay. I never thought he would never walk again. I never thought that. Even though the doctor says it's a possibility.
Well, his rehab was phenomenal because Ryan was very committed. I mean, he was positive about it. He worked. What was that whole rehab process like? And the first time you saw him on his feet?
The rehab process, it was something that you probably thought you were seeing in a movie because he was so determined. He was so determined. He would tell them, I don't care what I need to do. We're going to do it. If I feel tired or you feel like, okay, you can take a rest. Give me 10 minutes. But if I'm supposed to do it, we're going to get it done. He never let the part where, oh, Ryan Shazier is tired. Let's give Ryan Shazier a break. Oh, Mr. Shazier say he'll do it tomorrow. No. If he was scheduled to do it today, and if he was scheduled to do it for an hour, that's what we're going to do. And he had to learn how to do everything all over again.
And you know what? The fact that, because I mean, and nobody would have faulted him. if he was just like, okay, I'm just going to accept this diagnosis and that's what we're going to do. Nobody would have faulted him. But I go back to when he was younger and dealing with alopecia and everything. And we talked earlier about building that foundation, building that blueprint. And that's what you all did, because I'm sure parents will ask you, like, what prepares you for nothing on God's earth prepares you for that
nothing.
Moment. But I think when you start to, when you go back and, okay, what have I instilled in him? Because that determination wasn't something that just happened in that moment during rehab.
Right.
That was something that was put in there years ago. So what advice do you have for parents to say, like, how will you prepare? Like, how do we deal with that? Should we take our kids out of football?
You know what? I don't think you should, because it's just a passion they have. Just like Ryan has said, he said, you can get in an accident, a car accident. It's not going to stop you from riding in a car. You can get in an accident riding your bicycles. Things happen. It was just a freak accident. But he has such a love for the game. Honestly, if Ryan could play right now, he would get back on the field.
But let's get to that, though. I remember during his rehab, there was one point where they were making it seem like, okay, he's going to be coming back. And whenever I read that, I thought about you, because you were like, well, there's some point, the decision's always his, but it's his mom, but you felt like, okay, I don't want him to do this anymore.
You know what? I'm going to be honest, totally honest with you, Annie. This is how I always felt. I can't say I didn't really want him to do it anymore, because I knew he had such a passion for it. I always said, if God wanted him, that was the plan, God would have everything in order for him to get back on the field. And if that's not the plan, he won't be able to play again. And that's how I always looked at it. That's how I had to look at it. If that's what God wanted him to be able to play football again, then he would be able to pass the physical. And that's how I looked at it on a regular basis. And I even told him when he retired, I was a nervous wreck if he would have played again. But if that's what he had chosen to do and God had healed his body in a sense for him to play again, I would have supported him.
You know, for me, even if God, I felt like had totally restored him 100%, it would have been hard. Like, I always think about Alex Smith's wife when he went back out to play. And it was just like the injury he had. At first, I was just like, it's so selfish for him to play, to put his family through that. But I guess his wife's like, this is what he loves to do. But every time I would see him out there, I would think of her.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't understand that when your kid is injured or when somebody you love is injured, you go through that injury with them.
And you know what, Annie? I'm going to be honest with you. Did I want him to play again? I can say it now, and I haven't said it before. No, I did not want him to play again. But did I support him through his whole rehab and even now? Yes, I did. Because if that's what it took to motivate him, that's what I would have done and would do it all over again. Because I wasn't going to be the mom to say, you have to be very careful when you're in certain situations. If I'm there saying, I don't want you to play, you don't need to play, that's a whole nother stress. If that's what motivated him to want to get out, if get out there made him work harder, then of course, as a mom, that's what you're going to do. But mentally, is that what you really want? No, it's not what you want. But if that's what it took for him to get back to where he needed to be, you're going to support him and you're not going to go against it.
In November of 2018, Ryan jogged for the first time since his spinal stabilization surgery, according to, you know, that then linebacker coach Joey Porter. He shared that information. And what was that moment like for you? Like when you saw him, because from seeing him laying down there, not being able to move. And then in that shorter time, and I say it's shorter time because it was just like, whoa, he's able to not just stand on his feet, but actually jog.
Yes.
What did that feel like for you?
It was such a great feeling, because I just was like, he's getting back to a place where he can build up that confidence. Just as a man, because he was such a strong man and still is. But you know, you want to be able to do certain things with your kids. So to be able to run, like he can't run the 40 like he used to. He can't do any of that, but he can go out there and run with, you know, jog with his boys or throw the football, or, you know, walk along the beach or ride the bicycle. When he was here in January, we rode in my development on the bicycle. Those are just great moments that I'll never forget. And to see him jog, to see him run with his son, RJ, and to see him run with Lion in rehab, It's such a feeling that those are like special moments. Like you're sitting there like, oh my God, oh my God. Like it's a touchdown. Like he just made an interception. It was a touchdown. Like if he made an interception, yeah. It ran like a pick six.
he ran it in for a touchdown.
So it was so exciting. And just the memories, the things that we have seen in rehab, when we seen him for the first time move his toes, when we seen him for the first time be able to walk, you know, even though it was with help, but just to be able to do it down the corners of the rehab or the hospital, to be able to walk with the walker, to be able to walk with the sticks, to be able just to do everything like step by step. And like I said, it's totally different from him hurting his ankle, having to have surgery on his knee. This was like a life-changing event. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Like, because we didn't know from day to day what was going to happen. And I put my life on hold, which I would do it all over again. I pray I don't have to do it all over again for 3.5 months. I moved to Pittsburgh to just be able to do whatever I can, to be able to assist with, to help with Michelle, help with RJ, whatever.
And let's get to Michelle, because in May of 2019, Ryan married Michelle Rodriguez, 17 months after that spinal injury. He was able to dance at his own wedding.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
It was so exciting. Like I say, that was more than a wedding. That was a grand celebration for all of us to see him walk down the aisle, to see him dance at his wedding without being pushed in a wheelchair. Or without, it was such, like I say, it was a grand event. And I think everyone there was so happy and so excited. It was the wedding, but to us, it was more than a wedding. It was just a big celebration of what this young man has been through and where God has brought him, and to be able to celebrate at his, you know, wedding reception.
Wow. And also now father of two boys, and just looking back over Ryan's life, any regrets?
To be honest, no. Everything has its place.
Yeah. What are you most proud of? And when you think of all the things that he's accomplished, and first of all, I really want to shout out the Steelers organization, because they continue to pay his salary. They gave him his money even while he was rehabbing. They kept him connected with the team and made sure he was all right. I have to shout that out, because that is not normal NFL team behavior.
Yes, it's a 5-star.
Many times when you suffer that injury, you're done. They honored his contract. They have continued to just, not just financially, just make sure he's good, but like kept him connected to the Steelers, you know, where he's announcing draft picks and he's very much part of that community. The Steelers organization is just phenomenal like that. And so he lucked out.
Yeah, it was such a blessing. That's what I was saying. They are such a phenomenal team, such a phenomenal organization. I have nothing ill to say about them. I have nothing ill at all. Only thing I can do is just give them all the accolades and the praises, because they made it so much easier for us. And even the coach, the GM, and the owner, they would come to visit him. They would come to his rehab at times. They would show him, like, you're not alone. We are family. And that's how they made us feel. They made us feel like we were a part of that family. And even though he's retired, I still feel connected to that organization.
What was your reaction, response, when Ryan did finally decide to retire?
It was a very bittersweet. It was bitter because I know that means he had to let go of the dream of ever playing again. But it was also a sign of relief for me, because even though I was going to support him every step of the way, but it was still very hard to know, like, if he was to play again and he was to have a certain hit, anything could happen. And so I would never say that, because I would never want to discourage him. But through his whole rehab process, which he's still in rehab, but through the whole process before him actually retired, I used to always like, Lord, it is your will, whatever you choose, whatever you want. But I was still nervous as a mom. I don't have any regrets at all, because, you know, no one knows what tomorrow brings. And only thing I can say is that he was able to live out his dream and I just pray that he just continues to get better. But I can't honestly sit here and say there's anything I regret, because through the whole process of him playing, he always had the support and he was happy. He was happy doing things, something he loved doing, not that he liked doing. He loved football. He has such a passion for it. You have some guys that just play for the check.
Or the fame.
Yes, that's not him. I mean, and the fame was there and the money was there. But even if he could have went and played again and probably for just half of what he, you know, he would have done it.
In the fall of 2019, Ryan returned to Ohio State to finish his degree. He graduated in December 2020.
Yes.
What was that like? Because it was so funny, because I've had this conversation with Cheryl Boza. And because even our kids always say, oh, I'm going to go back. But now I think Joey was like, no, I'm not ever going back. So it's so good when you can get your kid to go back. What was that like for you when he got his degree? Because I mean, he was a psychology major, right? That he switched.
Yes, and you know, it was. He was psychology. And you know, it was just like, Ryan, are you going back? He was like, I'm going back. And he was actually supposed to graduate in the summer. And he didn't pass his class.
How you gonna put his business out there in the street? Okay. He was busy. He was busy.
And it wasn't that he didn't pass it. It's just that he wasn't going to class like he should. Like, you can't travel the world and go to school also. But we were so proud. Because I was like, Ryan, okay, what's going on? Like, are you going to graduate in August? And he had his cap and gown and everything. But I'm so proud of him, the fact he went back. Because a lot of times that just does not happen.
And that's okay, too.
Because like I say, long as you're self-sufficient, you can afford it. But I'm just so proud of him, and out of everything, I'm just proud of the young man that he still is and what he represents. And as hard as it hurt us, Annie, I always tell him, I say, you know, you reached a lot of people playing football, but you're going to reach even more through this injury because you're going to bring faith. But the thing about it, you're on a whole different platform because you have people outside of football that are watching now. So what are you going to do with it?
So what's next for him? So what's next for Ryan Shazier?
Right now, Ryan is just still trying to figure out what he wants to do. You know, he has investment. He has things going on with the signing. He have the Pheno 50 going on, which is where he speak with different people in reference to if they have had some type of tragic accident and how they overcame it. So that's awesome. You know, part of UPNC. That's major he has going on. And I can say with investment, he just have different things going on, but he's still trying to find out where exactly he's headed. But the things that are going are really great things that's bringing him joy and he with the pleasure to him.
You know, my late pastor used to always say, your destiny should be discovered, not decided. So, and it was such a powerful statement because it always took the stress out of trying to figure out what the next thing is. Like, just keep walking, keep going at it, and you will discover it. And when I think about, I personally am so grateful that Ryan not just survived, but is thriving after that injury, because as a mom, we all held our breath. And we held it for a long time. We all got on the phone, we prayed, and we just continue to support. And every day and every week and every month, every year, we saw him get better. It did all our hearts good. There are many times I think our kids look up to us, but I think Ryan is such a hero in his strength and just the whole way he attacked everything that has come in his way is heroic.
And you know what? I have to just thank you all so much because, like you say, there's the support, the love, how you always check me in. And I know the prayers definitely went out for Ryan and all that. We felt it. We actually felt it. But the one thing I'm just so proud of Ryan, and I must say, is how he handled everything. Even with the doctors and the nurses, they would say, you know, you're just a phenomenal young man. You're always still smiling. He was still very pleasant. He was still thinking, you know, thank you. You know, thank you for this. If it's a shot, thank you. Yes, ma'am. You know how he is. And he was still that way.
I told you. That's why I was like, my son's going to be all right because Ryan Shazier is his host.
He was that way in the hospital. When they bring, anytime they come in, he would always just thank you. He didn't have anger. He had his moments. He's human.
Course.
He had his moments where,
what?
He would have little breaks here and there. But
God and I would have had such a conversation, honey. I would have read the Lord before he read. I think that's what people don't understand. And that's why I love my, I'm not religious. I love my relationship with God because he allows me to be who I am. Because if I'm angry, if I'm disappointed, whatever it is, I am free to express. It doesn't mean I love him any. That's just a relationship. And nobody will fault him for that. We're part of, that's part of our organic, authentic human experience and connection with God when we're able to be like, but Lord.
And, you know, and with all that being said, it is so true because you know what else helped me? In the beginning, I think what gave me some of the strength, I did go to God and I asked him, why? Why would you let this happen to Ryan? We've been faithful. We've been this. We, you know, and you know what he said? Why not? Why not? Why would he be excluded? I mean, like we brought you through with the alopecia. That's not even anything near, but any trials he went through, we brought him through. So if you trust me, you have to trust me now. Not when things are just good, or just when it's a small injury, but why is he any different from anyone else? But he's mine, and I'm going to show you that I'm going to take care of him. And that's what really helped me have the faith where I just felt like everything is going to be okay.
What was your greatest lesson in this process?
Live in today and enjoy life because tomorrow is not promised. We saw Ryan's life change in an instant. We received so much love, so much compassion, so many prayers. And through it all, I think it made us a closer. We were already a pretty close family. It made us closer, but it made us not take anything for granted because no one is excluded. It can happen to anyone.
Sean is absolutely right. Nobody is exempt from the tragedies and the misfortunes of life. I tried to get Sean on the show when I first started the podcast because she's not just a dear friend, but somebody who I admire greatly. But I understood at the time that she wasn't ready. So I really appreciate her coming on and being so vulnerable and so open about her experience in watching Ryan go through this injury, the recovery, and the rehab. So thank you so much. Which leads me to today's clapback. And the clapback is more a celebration of life, a celebration of perseverance, a celebration of being knocked down and getting back up and doing it again. We can't allow the fear of death or injury to stop us from living our lives. And that's what Ryan Shazier has shown all of us. He's shown all of us that we can still continue to pursue our life's goals. And that as long as we are alive, our dreams never die. As always, thank you for listening. Raising a Pro is part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. I'd love, love, love if you guys will subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify and share the show with someone you think will love it. See you next time, family.